It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. She is a 30-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So it seems to me that the news is that the housing market is softening a little bit. What is that?
Yeah. So, you know, sales as a whole are down about 5% from a year ago. So, it's only 5%.
That's all. You know, in Wall Street terms, when something is down 5%, it's a lot.
No, it's a little bit of a big deal. And really, it's not that it's so much a big deal. It's just an indication that the market's starting to shift. And we're in the beginning stages of it. Markets are all cyclical. And we're starting to go down, you know, from a seller's market to a buyer's market.
Okay, so the power is shifting.
The power is shifting. Somebody's in control.
Yeah.
So if you ask as a whole, how's the real estate market? It's great. You know why?
Why?
Your famous question. When's a good time to buy?
When is a good time to buy, Terry?
That would be now.
And the best time to sell?
That would be now. And really, the truth of the matter is, that is the answer, because as a buyer, the interest rates are very low. Okay, so as
affordability.
Affordability. And affordability should be this key thing that a buyer's looking at.
I know.
For a seller, why should they sell?
Why?
Because the prices are going down, so they got to get out while we're still at the higher part of the market.
All right.
So okay. It's a win-win for everyone.
But actually, the median existing home price for all housing types, as I read this, in March was $259,400, up 3.8%. For March of 2018. So there's a little bit of a conundrum or a paradox here.
Right. And the truth of the matter is, what we're seeing is the market is correcting, which is normal. It's a deceleration of the appreciation.
Right. Negative
growth. We are not underwater or anything like that.
No,
so
it's just slowing down.
Pulling back.
Yeah. But actually, these averages are very misleading because it's a very much bifurcated market, meaning that the low end sells differently than the high end. What's going on there?
That's right. Well, you know, the lower end is, you know, flips like crazy.
It's hot.
Mm-hmm. Depending on your marketplace, in our marketplace, $1 million would be luxury. That's really where we see a slowdown. And then we're balanced from like six to.
It's balanced. Yeah. Okay.
But definitely you can see the trend is on the downward side.
What's interesting is that first-time homebuyers were responsible for 33% of sales in March.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of that has to do with, let's face it, the economy is strong, so they have jobs.
Yeah.
Interest rates are low.
Mm-hmm.
So those two factors.
We call it the Goldilocks scenario. Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Just right.
Yeah.
And also these millennials. Okay, so we talk about millennials all the time.
Yeah.
Well, the millennial average age is getting older, right?
Right.
We've been talking about them for 10 years. So if you took a 20-year-old, they're now 30.
Yeah.
So there should be more of them buying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The demographics are an inexorable push of the economy and housing in a certain direction. That's one of the main positive features of buying real estate is you've got this demographic push behind you. The population of the United States is expanding. Generations are getting older and they're buying. But it's interesting because the old model used to be that baby boomers, let's say, the older people, and even now to a degree, the Gen Xers or the millennials, as they get older, or the Gen Xers who are right behind the baby boomer generation, they usually downsize, but they're not downsizing this cycle.
That's right. And we're seeing that. So I'm looking at, you know, people in their 50s and 60s, and they're holding on. They're not giving up their houses and going into the active adult communities.
Why is this important?
Well, it's important because it's not shaking up the inventory. So if these folks are staying, holding on to their homes, then it's not freeing up that inventory. So we really need them to just get out of their homes, their big homes, give it up, and move to the 55 plus communities.
What do you think is stopping them?
I think there's a couple of different reasons. I think that they don't see anything that they like for the value because prices are high. They're looking at property that, for example, in our marketplace, if you own a home and let's just for argument's sake, it's $1 million and now you're going to buy a home for $500,000, your taxes, that alone, your taxes are going to probably be the same because you've been in that $1 million house now for 25 years, and we have here in Florida this homestead. Mm-hmm. So your taxes can't go up more than 3% a year. So now you buy a house for half the amount, pretty darn close to having the same tax amount.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's a big deterrent.
That's a deterrent.
Yeah. I want to talk about this one article that we both read, and this is how to make $1 million in real estate investing. Now, this is not one of those get rich quick ideas, but it's a real experience from a young man who was paying his way through college at Eastern Kentucky University. His name is Jason Rector. And he said he got tired of paying rent. He felt that he was getting poorer every month and the landlord was getting richer. So he decided to do something special.
Sure.
Which was very simple. In Richmond, Kentucky, where everything was pretty affordable, he bought a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house for $117,000, put down a $4,100 down payment, and used the savings from his mowing business that he ran while in high school. So that's number one. He made the leap that so many people don't make from renting to actually owning equity and being an owner.
At a young age.
Yeah. But he did more.
Yes, he did.
He finished his basement himself.
Yep.
He finished it by adding 2 more bedrooms, another bathroom, and invited 4 of his friends to rent from him. And that paid his mortgage and expenses while he lived rent-free.
Okay, so there's no wife and kids. He turned his house into a frat house and rented it out.
Okay, perfect.
Good for him.
Good, perfect, right?
Exactly.
Okay, why not?
I don't see any problem with that.
I think one reason it's harder to do today is that, first of all, finding a house at that price is difficult.
Right.
You could buy a condo, but I don't think you're going to be able to put four people in the condo. But nevertheless, it's what
principle.
He did that I think is the lesson here.
Sure.
Long story short, he did this over and over again. And he said he never, besides from his first house, he never put a dollar of his own money into. And then he became a fireman. And then he married one of the top salespeople in Keller Williams, your company, right?
Yay.
And she's like one of the top salespeople. So now she's getting him apartments. He owns like 93 apartments.
Right.
You take it from there a little bit.
Yeah. So she's finding him property 10 to 20% below market value. And those are probably short sales and foreclosures because no, we don't have an inventory that's here, investors. These are all the, you know, discounted property just for you. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
And then he tapped into his line of credit. So he didn't use his own money. He had a line of credit that he used to purchase the property.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of things right in order to get to where he is.
Now his properties are worth 8 figures.
Yep.
You can do the math at home. And he's got a career as a firefighter, and he's got the secondary career as a real estate mogul.
Yep.
I'm impressed.
He did a lot of things the right way.
Yeah,
over time.
And he said
really,
this is
really
not
key.
Get rich quick. He's holding these properties for 10 years and longer.
And he also has a staff now of 20 people. So there's a lot of work that goes behind it and a lot of checks being written out.
He's made a business out of it.
Absolutely.
And I do want to talk about that sometime in the future. If you're going to do something like that, what it means to actually make this into a business. But we are out of time. So as being out of time, I want to thank Terry Story for being with us. Terry is a 30-year veteran with Keller Williams, and she could be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.